In our journey through Hebrews, we come tonight to this magnificent 11th chapter, what is sometimes known as the roll call of the faithful, the great cloud of witnesses, this record of so many saints who've gone before us and of the mighty deeds done through faith. This is such a beloved and glorious portion of Scripture. It is just full of encouragements and blessings. My hope is that as we journey through it, it's going to really strengthen, encourage our faith. So please turn with me again to Hebrews chapter 11 and to verses 1 and 2 in particular. The Scripture says, "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony." The clear teaching of Scripture from beginning to end is we are saved through faith. Through believing, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have such faith, come to God in such faith, He grants us forgiveness of all our sins and everlasting life. It is through faith. When the crowds came to the Lord Jesus and they asked Him, "What must we do to do the works of God?" And He said to them, "The work of God is to believe in the one He has sent." To believe. To Nicodemus, the Lord said, "For God so loved the world, He gave up His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." When the Philippian jailer, as I think some of the children may have looked at in Sunday school this morning, when the Philippian jailer, facing death, cries out to the Apostle Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and all your household will be saved." As Paul also writes to the Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." To the Romans he says, "The righteousness of God is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." And as we heard last week, at the end of chapter 10, quoting from the prophet Habakkuk, "The just shall live by faith." Salvation is received by faith and faith alone. This is God's way. It's not by works. It's not by merits. It's not by ritual. It is by trusting and receiving His grace that's in Jesus Christ. And this is the faith that this chapter is speaking about. Sometimes, well, probably quite often today, you meet folks who will talk about having faith or being spiritual in some perhaps vague or undefined sense, a nebulous sense, or just some sense of the spiritual. But that's not what we mean here. It's not what the Scripture means. It is talking about this saving faith in Jesus Christ. And in this chapter, there's a particular dimension of faith that is focused upon, a specific aspect of true saving faith that is emphasized. That faith sees the invisible. Faith sees the invisible. Faith sees, it knows, the reality of the spiritual things of God, even though they cannot be seen with natural physical eyes, measured with natural senses. But faith grasps and knows and lives by the invisible spiritual realities of God and His kingdom. What we see, what we experience in this world, so often seems contrary to God and what He says in His word. But faith looks beyond this world, beyond the outward experience, and it sees the truth and the reality of the kingdom of God. That is the particular part of faith that is being looked at here. Or as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what Hebrews 11 is saying. And the theme that's running throughout this chapter is that all these great saints listed here, they lived by looking to the invisible. It's all about looking to that yet invisible. It's there even in verse 3 when speaking about creation, that the theme is there. By faith we understand the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Or then if you look ahead to verse 8, as it begins to speak about our father Abraham, he and the other patriarchs were looking forward to a city and a homeland, not of this world. And they lived looking forward to this future dwelling God promised. It was invisible to them. Abraham lived in tents. He saw nothing of it. But in faith, they looked ahead to this promised city and kingdom of God. As verse 13 says, they saw it afar off by faith. Or if you look at verse 23 onwards, it says Moses was not dazzled. He was not distracted by the riches, the pleasures, the powers of Egypt, which were so visible. But verse 26, he looked to the reward. There was nothing tangible to see, but by faith, he could see that promised invisible kingdom and trusted in it and lived for it. And then even if you go right to the very end of the list, at the beginning of chapter 12, our Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest of all of God's people. He despised the cross. He was not dismayed by it because he was looking to the joy set before him. Again, the reward and glories of the kingdom. Another way to say all of this is that all these saints were heavenly minded. They lived with one foot in the next age. And that it was so real to them. And so their perspective and their vision of day-to-day life here, it was never limited to just the material, temporary world. By faith, they saw this much bigger, they were looking at this much bigger canvas. They saw the reality of heaven, of earth, of life to come. And that perspective governed the whole of their lives. It's this looking to the invisible that we're being told to emulate in this chapter. You see, if you look at me at verses 1 and 2, these verses are not so much a description of what faith is, rather more a description of what faith does. Now, these verses are not giving us a comprehensive definition of faith. It would be wrong to try and understand them that way. They're not giving us a fulsome, comprehensive definition of faith. I mean, there's so much more that you would have to say about faith. We could come up with precise biblical definitions of faith. But here the emphasis is on what faith does in looking to the invisible. For example, if we just step aside for a moment, you think about all the ways that the Bible tells us what faith is. It's a resting on Christ. It's a feeding on Christ. It's a believing God's promises. It's an act of receiving. Or looking at it from a different point of view, it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Something that he works into our hearts. He creates in us by grace. Or we could say he uses the words of Scripture ordinarily to do this. Faith comes by hearing the word, Romans 10. So as we're hearing the truth of God preached and taught, that is the normal means the Holy Spirit uses to fire up faith within. Or we could think about how the Reformers, they very helpfully said faith is really three things. You've got to have these three things to have faith. Understanding, acceptance, and trust. So you first got to understand the gospel. You've got to understand the truth. There's got to be at least the essential knowledge of the gospel above God. But then there must be acceptance. Your will must agree that it is true, that it is right. There's a joyfully, willfully accepting of it. But then also, there must be a cleaving to the truth. From the heart, a personal commitment to it and reliance on it, a trust in the gospel. You must personally rest on Christ. So you see, there's so much more that we could say to be very clear about faith. But here, it is about looking to the invisible. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for. So in faith, we are hoping for the glory of God. We're hoping and looking forward to the salvation we've been promised of everlasting life. Every tear wiped away and every wound healed. We were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But what faith does is it grabs hold of that hope. And it's as if faith makes it so real to us. It makes it concrete here and now. That's what this word substance means here. These invisible things, future things that are promised. Faith is so powerful, it's as if it gets a hold of them and says, this is so real, and brings it down right into here. We know it's real. And it transforms how we live. The invisible things become real, substantial to us. And then faith lives and acts as they are true. Let me try to put it this way. When I was growing up, my dad was an architect. And we'd take me around many building sites. And I can remember one going around a muddy field with him. And there were just a few ditches that had been dug. Just a few ropes staked out. And nothing much to see. But as we walked around the site doing some measurements, he pictured for me, he explained to me the house that he was going to have built there. And over here, on this patch of mud, there's going to be this beautiful bay window that's going to look out over those trees over there. And then you're going to turn around and I'm going to put a beautiful island here in the kitchen here. And then walk past that and there's going to be this nice double-doored entrance going straight into this great dining room that's going to have lots of light coming into it. And so as we're walking through this muddy field together, it's becoming real to me. And I'm starting to see it. That's what this verse is saying faith does. Substantiates and enables us each day to grasp and to see the reality of these invisible things. If I could put it this way, in this fallen world, you're walking through a horrible muddy bog. And there's ditches and there's little to see of the kingdom of God. But by faith, well, your eyes are opened. You can see it all very differently. You can see this whole world belongs to Jesus Christ. And while it might look terrible right now, we know what he's building. That he's building an everlasting dwelling place for himself, a temple and a people, and that all things will be made new. And by faith, you see it and you see how real it is. And you live like it. To quote, I think it's Psalm 48. Come, walk around, see its towers, its walls, its palaces. Come and see this Jerusalem that he's building. Substance of things not seen, of what we hope for. And then similarly, it also says it is the evidence of things not seen. Or as it could be translated, the assurance, the confidence of things not seen. Well, I want to suggest to you, I think this is speaking to us about the work of the Holy Spirit. And his work in our hearts affirming these things to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. He bears testimony to the truth. And he assures us it's real. See, there's this very close connection. They're not quite the same things, but there's a close connection between faith and assurance as the Holy Spirit works them into our hearts. And the word evidence is used here. I think that's helpful because it naturally makes our minds think of a courtroom. Almost as if in the courtroom of your soul, the Holy Spirit is presenting evidence to it. assuring it. This is really how it is. He's the Spirit who cannot lie. What God has promised, it will be. And there is this inner witness within in which he assures us, gives us the faith to see it, opens our blind eyes, unblocks our deaf ears. He evidences it to us. We see it. We know it. You know what I mean, brothers and sisters, that there is deep down in a Christian an absolute certainty, an unshakable bedrock, that no matter what happens, you know it's true. You know that Jesus is Lord. No one's going to be able to convince you out of that. Why? It's because the Holy Spirit. Think of how Paul speaks of him in Ephesians 1. His prayer that the Father of glory would give to the church the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. That we may know the hope of our calling, the riches of glory in our inheritance. See again, here's the riches of glory, in yet invisible. But as the Holy Spirit grants faith in the heart, we know it's real. Perhaps we could say the Holy Spirit is like a lawyer. Imagine if a lawyer came to visit you one day and he said, I've got the most wonderful good news. You've inherited a vast fortune. You have a brother that you've not actually ever met. But when he died, he bequeathed to you this incredible vast fortune that was his. Now, you're going to have to wait a little while we process the paperwork, and it's going to take a bit of time to be released, and it actually appears in your bank account. But it's yours. It's yours. And you might think that sounds too good to be true. But perhaps you know that lawyer is a faithful advocate who does not lie. And you know on the strength of that testimony, it is so. So again, you see what these verses are saying? What faith does, these yet for us future blessings of God, it brings them to be so real in our hearts that we're then transformed in how we live. I wonder if you know this, brothers and sisters. All your best blessings are yet to come in the kingdom of God. Now, I know that being a Christian is wonderful. There are so many trials that we go through, but nothing still dims the fact. It's the greatest thing of all to be a Christian, isn't it? And to know God's love for you in Christ, and to live out the new life that he's given you. But the Bible's always telling us to be looking forward. The real blessings, rewards, joys are not going to be here in this world. It's yet to come. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? But faith brings it clear. So then we see then in this list of saints, because they had this kind of faith, it makes them kind of invincible. They worked miracles, conquered kingdoms, closed the mouth of lions. They endured the most extreme suffering, even death. It gave them the strength and boldness to stand against the world, because they live for the unseen. Now, I trust it is clear what I'm saying. That faith is believing what is really true. These invisible realities of the kingdom, they are really real. Really real. Because the criticism that atheists like to make about faith is that it's just wishful thinking. It's a fairy tale that you say to comfort yourself, to make yourself feel better in a dark world. But that is the most slanderous attack on the truth. Faith is seeing what is really real. It is the atheist who has the closed mind, whose understanding is so very limited, because they're only perceiving a material reality they can measure. They are blind and deaf to these spiritual higher realms. But they are real. And faith is the organ that perceives them. So in verse 2, we're then given a massive encouragement. By this kind of faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Now that's really a summary, isn't it, of the whole of the chapter? The example of the elders, the saints who've gone before us, fathers in the faith, and their good testimony. And so they're being held out to us as an example to follow. And specifically, the encouragement is God bless them for it. They received a good testimony. A good testimony from whom? From God. God speaks well of them. God commends them. God is pleased with such faith. God will honor such faith. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then there's another sense we can think of the word testimony here. In the sense that we remember these saints and they're honored by us even today. They're not forgotten, but are cherished. Even though dead, they still speak. And their lives, because they lived with this faith, continue to give glory to God. Could Abraham ever have imagined wandering around those dusty backwaters of ancient Canaan that thousands of years later, there'd be all these billions of us Christians saying, wow, look at Abraham and his faith and how he gives glory to God. But they've all left behind this glorious legacy, an example to us. And how many Christians are helped and strengthened by all these examples we've got in Scripture? Of David with the faith to face Goliath, of Daniel's friends and their faith not to bow to the idols. One thing it should tell us is that if we want to leave a blessing behind, if we want to bless those who come after us, the kind of life that will do it is one that's lived in faith. Not having buildings named after you, not having a company in your name, not a huge bank account to pass on. Not any of those earthly things. Not living for self at all, but living by faith for the kingdom of God leaves behind a testimony of blessing beyond compare. So what great encouragement is there than this, than to know that to live by faith pleases God and does good to others. It's a tremendous encouragement to live with this heavenly mindset, this eternal perspective. I think one of the most lovely saints of recent history is a lady called Gladys Aylward. And outwardly, she was a very short and many said weak woman, but she devoted her life to being a missionary in China. And in faith, she went out there, founded an orphanage. And then when war broke out, she rescued the children. Miraculously, she led them on an impossible journey, an exodus through the mountains. Did it all by faith. But she has a wonderful saying. She said, "The eagle that soars in the upper air does not worry itself how it will cross rivers." I don't know if there's something to do with the fact it was in China that she was speaking this way. But the eagle that soars in the upper air does not worry itself how it will cross rivers. See what she was really meant by that? If you live up in the air, if in faith, you're looking to God, you're looking to his kingdom, his power, his glory, the enemies and obstacles of this world don't seem like much at all. That's the tremendous strength that this faith gives you. Because again, there's this strong emphasis in this passage on facing trials and dangers as God's people. They mention the sword, the lion, Pharaoh, rivers and obstacles. But it's saying by faith, you're not looking at them. You're looking at the invisible. And see that you can fly like an eagle with God and not worry about crossing the rivers. Or as John Newton puts it in a different way, in one of his hymns. When Satan appears to stop up our path, he tells us we're lost. Our hope is in vain. He cannot take from us whatever betide. This answers all questions. The Lord will provide. Or as Charles Wesley puts it in one of his hymns. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to that alone. Laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. That's what this mighty faith, this passage tells us can do. So brothers and sisters, I pray you'll be encouraged. By faith, look to the invisible, what's really real. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is. We walk by faith, not by sight. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have only, as it were, dipped our toe into the water of this wonderful portion of Scripture you give us. But we thank you, Lord, that it is so full of encouragement to us. And we pray, Lord, for a greater gift of faith. We pray that, like the saints of old, we would live with one foot in heaven already. Oh, Lord, help us to have the right heavenly perspective, not to look at the world and its glories, not to look at the enemy and the troubles, but help us, we pray by faith, to look to the invisible. And we thank you, Lord, that there we see you are the living God and Jesus Christ is your Son, and that he has established an everlasting kingdom. Help us, Lord, to see the glory, the promise of what is to be. And may we live like it each day. For Jesus' sake. Amen.